again, we're thankful for your presence. Lord, your presence makes all the difference. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you impart to us as we worship you. Lord, we thank you for the release that we experience in our own spirits as we're in your presence. Lord, we thank you for the words that you speak to us, encouraging us. Lord, the testimonies, oh God, of your intervention, of you wanting to communicate with us on a personal level and to show yourself strong on our behalf. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, us to continue that work in our midst, even as your word comes forth. Father, may our hearts be good soil. Lord, may your word come forth and find good soil to be planted in. Lord, may your word come forth and edify us. May your word come forth and build us up. Lord, may Christ be seen as your word comes forth, and may he be the one who gets all the glory. May he be exalted. Father, we take a stand against anything and everything that we seek to distract, and we command such things to be gone. And Lord, receive your word with faith and with joy. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, and amen. We started a series a couple weeks back called Spiritual Battle. The last time we focused upon the different spiritual beings that Paul makes mention of in Ephesians 6. The rulers, the authorities, the world forces of darkness, and the spiritual wickedness that dwells and functions from the heavenly realms. And we mentioned that Paul kept that portion of his letter for last, perhaps because he wanted the church to understand some of the things we're going to talk about today in terms of their position in Christ and who they are in Christ. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians 6. And I'm going to read from verse 10 to verse 13 of Ephesians 6. So Paul is like coming to the end of his letter, and it's like the climax. So he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So here, as he's wrapping up his letter, he gives them basically it's a command to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. I memorized that version from the King James. It says, in his mighty power. So today I want to talk about being strong in the Lord. Because I've discovered through life that if people don't have strength in whatever they're doing, many times they don't succeed. If you could be the best athlete, most gifted. If you don't have strength and stamina, you're perhaps not going to win. You know, you see it, with a time when I used to watch boxing, and you'd see a boxer come out, and he's very talented, very good for the first 6 rounds, but if he starts to tire, he's going to lose. When my son was at Tabernacle Baptist, one of the first things they would do when they're preparing for basketball season, they'd spend the first few weeks just running. just running, trying to build up stamina and strength. Because you can play wonderful first half, but if you get tired in the second half, you're going to lose. And it goes through like that in many, many other areas of life. That if you want to be victorious, you have to have strength. You have to be able to stand. Jesus put it this way. He says, the one who endures to the end is the one who's going to be saved. So you and I can start out this Christian walk with all sort of vigor and all sort of stuff. But this walk is like a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so you can rush out thinking this is a sprint. And the enemy is just going to wait and say, okay, I'll wait until he's tired. I'll wait until she's tired. And he just comes with an onslaught. So we have to have that mindset that this is a long haul. And so Paul, the first thing he says, even before he talks about the armor, he says, be strong in the Lord. Strength, as we've sung earlier, is not found in our own selves, not found in our own abilities. It's a place of strength that you and I need to find in the Lord. And I put in my notes here, because that's one of the reasons why we need strength. We need spiritual, and I put mental strength, because many times the battle is in the mind. The enemy attacks us in the mind, the battlefield of the mind. And you and I need to be able to find that strength in the Lord to stand against all of the attacks that the enemy brings towards us. Verse 13 there that I read earlier, Paul says, I haven't done everything to be able to stand firm. So we need that strength that at the end of everything, we're still standing. We're not on the ground crawling. We're not on the ground being defeated, but we're standing in the Lord. One of the scriptures that I like a lot that comes out of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31 says this. It's talking about end times, talking about the perhaps the Antichrist who will arise. And it says in verse 31, forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice. And they will set up the abomination of desolation. By smooth words, he will turn to godlessness. And those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God, will... I'm back at verse 32, sorry, of Daniel 11. The people who know their God will be strong and resisting. The King James says, will be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God. Not just everybody, not just anybody, but the people who know their God are the ones who will find strength in the Lord and be able to resist the enemy and be able to do exploits, be able to act with courage and with strength. And so that's why we need strength. So that we can endure to the end. Because if you think things are difficult now, hold on. Paul talks about an evil day. And the evil day sometimes can be on a personal level. When you and I go through all manner of stuff. And you and I need to be able to stand. Or the evil day can be a time when things come against not just you or the person, but against even the church. And again, because we're not lost in the thing called a church, we're still individuals, we still need to be able to stand. My prayer for myself is that I'll be able to stand and enter into his presence standing. And my prayer is the same for all of us. That whenever the Lord calls us home or if he returns, he will find you and I standing firm. rejoicing in the Lord, having withstood everything that the enemy throws at you and at me. And we sang some of the songs this morning, talking about another in the fire. You know, all of the heroes of faith that we have were men and women who stood strong in the Lord. Daniel, the one we sang about, standing there in the fire, and the Lord comes alongside him. Or at least the Hebrew boys, sorry, Daniel was with the lions then. The Hebrew boys, they admitted in their minds that they would not be intimidated by the king and all those who were against them. And they stood. And there was God standing with them. Or, as I mentioned, Daniel, he stood, prepared to die. And God stood with him. So yes, God is with us, but we still need to have this mindset that's saying, I am going to stand. And I can stand. We have some hindsight that the Hebrew boys didn't have. That Christ says he'll always be with us. So we can stand knowing that he's right here with us. He's beside us. He's before us. But we still have to do our part to stand. That's why Paul said it to them. We need to remember that the Lord is our strength. The Lord our God is mighty with us, and he's our strength, he's our fortress. So I'm not doing this in my own abilities. I'm not doing this standing in my own education or my own background or my own family. I'm not standing because, he didn't say, find my strength in your church. No, I'm finding my strength in the Lord. So that when I put on the armor of God, my knees are not knocking as the enemy comes along. But I can move forward in victory. And I can see the enemy scatter. I like David. And one of the things about David was David knew where his strength lay. He knew where to find strength. In Psalm 18, verse 31, this is what David says. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and make my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and he sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. And so David found his strength in the Lord. So when David saw Goliath, David wasn't scared. The rest of Israel, they were all scared, but David wasn't scared because David said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. David knew where his strength lay. And that's why he could approach Goliath. And one of the things I like about David is that, how many of you remember that he actually ran towards Goliath? You see, when you have your strength in the Lord, you're not backing away from the enemy. You're not trying to hide in some corner. You're not griping and complaining. But rather, because your strength is in the Lord, you can actually face the enemy head on and move towards the enemy and see victory. Somebody said that some of us, when we look at Goliath, we see a really big problem. But David wasn't focused upon Goliath. He was focused upon the God who's bigger than Goliath. Whatever you focus on is what is going to become big in your eyes. And the beautiful thing David thought was, this guy is so big, it's hard for me to miss. Some people were intimidated by Goliath. He's so big, he's going to tear me apart. But I believe David said, you are so big, it's hard for me to miss. I need to get some momentum behind my stone. And so he ran towards him while swinging that sling. So there's some momentum coming from that rock to hit Goliath. Most of us would have been hiding somewhere, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Why me, Lord? And I believe God wants you and me to be so strong in Him that the world sees or the enemy falls around us. The world sees that it's not Joe Campbell who's able to do this thing, but there's a God who's at work on his behalf. And wherever you are in strength, this is something I've been meditating on. Wherever you are in strength, you have to continue to increase. So in Psalm 84, this entire psalm is a beautiful psalm. But the psalmist says, I'm going to start at verse 4. He says, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. Psalm 84, verse 4. They are ever praising you. How blessed is a man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. And this is what happens to this man. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before the God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And then he goes on to say, a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. And so the psalmist here is saying, God's desire for you and me is for us to go from strength to strength. Not from strength to weakness. Not from strength to failure, but from strength to strength, ever increasing strength in the Lord. So there's no place for complacency. There's no place for me to feel that I've reached. I have to have an attitude that I need to get stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. How many understand what I'm saying? If you lost a battle with the enemy, then you should arise and say, I'm going to get stronger next time he comes. It's going to be a different Joe Campbell encounters because this Joe Campbell is going to get stronger in the Lord. So we need to know then the source. How do I get stronger in the Lord? That's a good question, Pastor Joe. We need to talk about getting stronger in the Lord. Trust me, it doesn't happen by accident. Many a young person, I remember this good friend of mine, he and his son went to the gym. And his son, you know, lifts some weights in the gym. And suddenly he's like, look at my muscles. How many of you know don't get strong just by going to the gym one time? And some of us as Christians think that's how you get strong. Well, I'm going to read my Bible all night tonight and I'll be strong. That's a good start, but you need something more than that. You understand what I'm saying, saints? It's not a little one-shot thing if you want to find strength in the Lord. There has to be a discipline. There has to be a way in which we continue doing some things so that our strength is actually found in the Lord. And we can't wait until the battle is right at the door to say, okay, wait, devil, let me go build up my strength. It doesn't work like that. Because what I've discovered about the devil is that he waits for opportune time to come against us. You know, he knows, for example, that many of us, when we are tired, we get irritable, and so he comes at you when you're tired. And so if you don't find your strength in the Lord before that, when you're tired, it just comes and it becomes chaotic and all sort of problems occur because of that moment of physical tiredness. So it says here about the schemes of the devil. He plans and he schemes and he plots. He's not arbitrary. And so you and I need to always then be building up our strength in the Lord, knowing that the evil day, he can come against me basically at any time. Some of us, when we get sick, oh my goodness, they perhaps should leave you alone by yourself because you're so irritable when you get sick. Yeah. That should be the time when the devil knows, devil, if you make me sick, you're gonna pay for this. Because I'm going to spend some of my time interceding and praying for some other people while I'm down here on this bed. So that he would regret the fact that he made you sick. Not be rejoicing and saying, look at how I'm creating havoc in that family. Look at how this one is so miserable. Look at all this type of stuff. Hello? So some of these things the Lord mentioned earlier. One of the words was to remember who you are. That you're chosen. You're set apart before time. And you can do nothing without the Lord. So we're going to look at some of these things. One of the places to find strength, first and foremost, is to embrace your identity in Christ. To remember who you are. That's what Paul did in the first chapter of Ephesians. He was trying to get them to embrace who they are before he comes to the warfare. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, this is what Paul says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. So Paul was here trying to remind them as to who they are in the Lord. Because when you know who you are, it helps you and me to be able to stand. And so, Paul says first that they are saints. They have been, we talked about this some in more detail sometime last year in terms of our identity. That we are saints, we have been separated unto the Lord. We have been washed, we have been cleansed. That's who we are. We are saints of God. Some of us have been told for years that, well, you're just a sinner, saved by grace. And that way of thinking gives people excuses to sin. Because if you're a sinner, what do sinners do? They sin. And so it lowers our level of expectation. Paul didn't write and say to those who are sinners saved by grace. Hello? He wrote to the saints. And what he was trying to do is to say, this is how God sees you. This is what God wants from you. Raise your level of expectation. He wasn't saying that as saints that they are sinless. No, that's not what it means to be a saint. It means that you have been washed and you have been cleansed and you're seeking to live a life that is pleasing to the Father. And so when I think that I'm a saint, then I don't just yield to the things around me. And in fact, it causes me to question some of the things that come towards me. As I think of myself as a saint, I start to say, you know what, perhaps I shouldn't be watching this thing because I'm a saint. I don't want to contaminate my mind because I belong to the Lord. You see? And so Paul calls them saints, and then he goes on to say that you're the faithful ones in Christ. And some of us are like, but Lord, I don't feel so faithful. It doesn't matter what you feel like. God is saying, I've called you as a saint, and I see you as one being faithful to me. And so it causes me then to arise and to pull my socks up and to say, okay, Lord, since you say I'm faithful, I'm going to trust you to help me to be faithful. And when the devil comes and says, if you're so faithful, how come you miss your prayer time? How come you miss your devotions? I say, get thee behind me, Satan. It's not my devotions that make me faithful. It's the fact that God sees me as faithful. And so it changes my mindset. It says I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So it means that wherever I turn, the blessings of God is already there. We sing about it. So I don't look at my circumstances to determine if I'm blessed. I look at what the Word of God says. I might be going through all sort of chaos, all sort of needs, but that doesn't mean I'm not blessed. I'm blessed in the Lord because His blood covers me, and when I'm washed and the things around me really are all temporary, and I'm looking towards the permanent things, and I'm going after the permanent things. And so Satan, you can take away some of these material things. It doesn't really, it's not going to shake me. Because if he takes them away and the Lord believes I need them, he'll restore them twice as much. And then the word that came this morning says we are chosen. We are chosen by God. You know the story of the girl who was adopted and how the other sister, the one who was a child by natural birth, was teasing her and mocking her. And the girl who was adopted got a word of wisdom and responded, "You can tease all you want. Mom had to have you, but she chose to have me. I'm special. I was chosen." And you and I need to have that mindset to realize that before the foundation of the world, God was thinking about you and thinking about me and put a plan in place so that I could function as His chosen one. So I'm not here by accident. You're not here by accident. You're walking out and seeking to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose. Later on in Ephesians 2 and about verse 10, he says that there are some preordained works that He has already established for you and I to walk in. So it doesn't really matter, friends, in the natural, how you came into this world. It might have been all sort of arbitrary circumstances, difficult circumstances. The fact is God brought you into this world and He has a plan and a purpose for your life and for my life. And that makes you and that makes me special. I'm chosen. I'm not just an arbitrary person going through life. And so I can walk with my head up. I can walk around with confidence because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, had a plan for my life long before my parents even thought about anything. Hello? You're not here by accident. So my life and your life should make an impact, should count for something. And so in the times when you feel arbitrary, in the times when you're wondering, and the devil comes with his lies, you can remind him that in the Lord I'm chosen and find strength in that. You see, a lot of people, because they don't realize who they are, it's easier for them to become depressed. Why am I here? What is life all about? Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. And the devil has come with all of those thoughts. And before you know it, that spirit of depression comes upon them. But you and I need to remind ourselves and never come with these thoughts. No, I am chosen. I'm here for a purpose. And when I'm gone, people will miss me because my purpose, being amongst them, I was doing something significant. Paul says that they are beloved by God. And we talked about the last time what it means to be beloved and the blessings that come with being one of the beloved of God. That God draws close to us and wraps His arms around us, and we're found on between the shoulders of the Lord. That's where the beloved is found. That's the type of response the Lord has to us, is what He said of Christ: "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And God says the same thing about you and about me because we're found in Christ. He shouts out about us. He sings over us. He delights in us. I mean, that's fantastic. It's hard to even wrap your mind around it. And he goes on to say, we are the redeemed of the Lord, and we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God lives in you and in me, and we're sealed, we're set off, we are marked for the Lord. I mean, some of these things, if you meditate on them, it's going to build your faith. That the King of Glory put his Spirit inside of me? Yes, that's what he did. He sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of you and inside of me. And that Holy Spirit wants to commune with us and through us. Paul says that Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, bringing us into this relationship with the Father. And he goes on to say that there's so much that Paul talks about here in Ephesians about who we are in the Lord, that we are part of the body of Christ. Because he talks about the fact that Christ is the head over his body, which is the church. He talks about us being light, that once we were darkness, but now because we're in Christ, we are light. So I don't have to do anything really for people to see who I am, because the light of God is in me and it flows through me as I walk with the Lord. The light comes forth and people can see it. And then it talks about us being the bride of Christ, being in love with the Lord and the Lord being in love with us. So one of the keys then to find our strength in the Lord is to embrace our identity in Christ. Another key is to know our position in Christ. And that's why Paul took so much time in Ephesians 1 to talk about Jesus Christ being exalted above every name that can be named, both in this age and in the age to come. He was setting a picture, helping them to see where Christ is. We sang this morning about the name of Jesus Christ. I know at his name, darkness flee. At his name, demons run. And so the name of Christ, who Christ is seated far above every principality and power and every name that can be named in this age and in the age to come. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And then in chapter 2, he goes on to say that you and me, we have been washed. Once we were controlled by the enemy, the spirit that works in sons of disobedience, that the enemy controls the people who don't know God. And you and I were controlled by that spirit. But God came and set us free. And now we have been risen with him. And now we sit with Christ. In that place of authority. In that place far above principalities and powers. And every name that can be named in this age and in the age to come. That's where you and I sit. So it means then, my friends, and I've said this before, that when the enemy comes against us and when we have to do our little spiritual battle, we are not battling for victory. We are battling from a place of victory. It's already given to us. I don't know how many of you watch sports. Or perhaps every now and again some of you watch it. But I've seen games where it's a blowout. You know, like basketball, where I had like about 30 points. And so they put on the second string players to play. You know what I mean? And the team that is losing, they can go up and do all sort of dunk and look pretty. But guess what? You already lose. You understand? The game is that the victory is not dependent upon the second string. The victory is already won. And the guys who brought the victory, they're already seated beside the coach. You understand? So it's like Christ who's seated beside the Father. It's already victorious. It's already won. And you and I are here as a second string. And so as a second string, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try and look as pretty as I can, do as much dunk as I can, and rejoice as much as I can because I know I have already won. Amen. But that's a picture you and I need to have in our minds, that we're already victorious. And yes, the enemy might score a basket here and a basket there, but you know what? That doesn't make any real difference to the victory I have in Christ. So we need to remind ourselves to the authority that we have in Christ and where we sit. And the enemy knows this and he tries to hide it from us. But if you remember, again, the same church in Ephesus, in Acts 19, people saw the power of God working through Paul and the sons of Sceva. They came and they were trying to cast this demon out and they were like, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demon is like, who are you? I don't know you. I know Paul because Paul has given us some really harsh beatings. And I know Jesus because he defeated us. But who are you? And so that story tells you and me that when we are in Christ, the devil knows. And when we speak the name of Christ because we are in Christ, he flees. But if we're not walking with Christ, if you're not in Christ, the devil's like, what are you trying? Who are you? And those seven sons of Sceva, they were beaten by one man. How many understand what I'm saying? If you're not in Christ, you will not be able to be victorious over the things the devil brings against you. But if you're in Christ and you understand your authority, when you speak the name of Jesus, the enemy will scatter. Hello? When you're walking with Christ and you understand your authority, you don't have time to grumble and complain because you know who you are, you know where you are, and you know that if you speak the name of Christ and if you call out the name of the Lord will intervene in your life and in your circumstances. In Ephesians 1 and verse 22, talking about Christ, he says, he has put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are the church. We are his body. And everything has been put under the feet of the church. That's what it says there, the body of Christ. So as the body of Christ aligns itself with Christ, that's where our authority flows. And so in these days, the enemy will come against you and will come against me. And I need to remind myself as to who I am and the authority I have. And to find that place of strength just to utter the name of Christ. Paul says, that comes in the next section, developing our relationship with Christ. But Paul says that when I'm weak, I'm strong. Even when I'm going through stuff, I can find a place in the Lord because His grace is sufficient for me. And so you might be sick, you might be down on your back, but you know what? You can find a place in the Lord, a place of strength. And so Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And watch the enemy flee. Watch circumstances change. So the third place where we find our strength is in developing our relationship with Christ. Growing in our knowledge of Christ. That's why Paul prayed for them in Ephesians 1. Lord, give them a spirit of revelation and of knowledge in Jesus Christ. So they can move from strength to strength. As Daniel says, they who do know their God can be strong and resist the devil. They who do know their God can be strong and do exploits, and they're growing in their knowledge of God. Therefore, they're growing in the exploits that they're able to see accomplished through them. We're moving from strength to strength. I'm moving from victory to victory. I'm moving from faith to faith. What about you? I'm seeking to know the Lord more and more. I'm asking Him for greater revelation and insights. Because the more I'm able to embrace, not just intellectually, but in my own spirit, it becomes a part of me. It changes me. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. One of the things that gives us strength is the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah said that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Which means, my friends, if you read, and we're going through Philippians now on a Wednesday night, that's a book about the joy of the Lord. More than any other book that Paul wrote. The word rejoice is used more often in that book than in any other book that Paul wrote, even the long ones like Romans and Corinthians. And Paul was saying to them, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Find that place of joy. And in that book, this is what when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because you're finding that joy from being with the Lord. You're walking with the Lord and experiencing His joy. And that book was written to a people who saw Paul live it out. When Paul came to Philippi, the Bible says in Acts 16, and he preached, and Lydia and her family got saved, and as he was going forth, there's a girl with a spirit of divination coming along, and Paul cast out that spirit, and Paul ended up being put in prison, being beaten and put in prison in Philippi, Acts 16. And we all know it, Paul and Silas, beaten, and in the middle of the night, in the darkest hour of the night, still bleeding, still in pain, Paul and Silas at midnight did what? They sang praises and prayer to the Lord. So when Paul told them to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, they could reflect on what Paul actually lived before them. You understand what I'm saying, saints? Paul wasn't just uttering words, empty words. He had a life to back it up. And one of the words that came earlier talked about pain. And us being able to find the Lord in the middle of our pain. Well, you know what it means to be able to rejoice in the middle of whatever you're going through. And because Paul and Silas were able to find that place of rejoicing, how many of you know that you don't end up rejoicing just like that on the turn of a moment if you don't practice that? How many know when you're in pain and when you're bleeding, it's hard for you to rejoice unless you've been used to rejoicing in the Lord? And so that story tells me that the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were used to rejoicing in the Lord no matter what. So when they're in the middle of the midnight, they could arise and declare God's goodness and worship God in the darkest hour. And because we're able to find that place of strength in the Lord, supernatural things happen. Supernatural things happen. Earthquake took place and chains fell off. People got saved. Household got saved and baptized. But if they had functioned like I would have a tendency to function, if they had functioned like me and gripe and complain and like, why me, Lord? I was just trying to serve you. I was just trying to be faithful to you. Why you allow me to end up in prison? Why you allow me to be beaten? This is not fair. This is not right. How many of you know that they wouldn't have had the faith and the courage for supernatural things to happen? And so, my friends, when the Bible says to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Paul's encouraging the church to live this life of worship, live this life of praise. No matter what comes your way, delight in the Lord always and rejoice in Him always and declare the goodness of God always and allow God to intervene in your life and in your circumstances. Paul said to them in Philippians there, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. What a contrast. And so we're talking about being strong in the Lord. It's for you and me to make up our mind and to start to practice this life of worship. Start a practice life of praise. To practice day in and day out. Somebody come in front of you and they're driving at 10 miles an hour. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is still great. Hello? But I'm going to be late for my appointment. That's all right. God is still great. He's still worthy to be praised. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let us stand. I'm going to ask Miss Kim, can you come on up here? Miss Angie, can you come on up here, Caroline? If you have a need this morning, Angie, come on this side, please. Whatever your need may be, whether you feel strong or weak, because all of us have to go from strength to strength. Whatever your need may be, we have these saints up front here. Come to one of them and allow them to pray with you. Because one of the places to find strength is for the body of Christ to minister to each other. That's one of the places of strength. God didn't save us to leave us on our own, but he put us in a body. And when the body comes together, we'll find strength there. Paul says, well, not Paul, the writer of Hebrews says, to encourage each other, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but to encourage each other. Because in that place of fellowship is where you find strength sometimes. And so whatever you're going through this morning, I'm going to invite you, whatever you want to have lifted before the Lord, to come to one of these saints and have them pray with you. If you're sick, come to them. If you need a word of encouragement, come to them. If you need direction, come to them. If you need strength, come to one of them.
The reign of darkness now has ended. In the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of light, forever under your dominion, you're the king of my life, you're the king of my life. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. Jesus, you reign above it all. And on the cross, the work was finished. God, you poured out your life just to give us new life. Now from the lips of the forgiven, hear an anthem arise, 'cause Jesus, you're alive. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Darkness running out of an empty grave, now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave, now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave, seated alone in glory, thrown on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. enthroned on the highest praise. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth everlasting one, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe and over.
Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Father, indeed, you reign above it all. Over every single issue that faces us, you reign way above it all. Over the universe, over our hearts, Lord, and indeed the hearts of people. And so, Lord, this day, O God, we stand strong in you. This day, O God, we declare that you are our shield, our strength, and our fortress. Lord, this day, O God, we find ourselves under the shadow of the Almighty. And Father God, we thank you, O God, because we are there, Lord. You go ahead of us and you fight for us. that the battles that come our way, Lord, are battles that you fight for us. And Lord, we thank you, God, that we can stand with you and in you and find strength in you. Lord, I pray you might help us. Help us, Lord, to grow from strength to strength. Help us, O God, to have our confidence in you ever increasing. Help us, O God, to have our faith in you ever increasing. Help us, O God, to find our knowledge of you also increasing. Lord, not merely head knowledge, but Lord, revelation in our own hearts. And Father, help us as we speak the name of Christ to see you act on our behalf and to see darkness fall and to see the kingdom of God progress. Lord, we continue to lift up our prodigals to you and we continue to ask you, God, to break the chains that bind them and to bring them back, O God, as servants of the Most High God. Lord, as we leave here, Lord, we ask you to go with us. Lord, continue to draw us unto yourself. Continue to open our eyes that we might see where you are at work. Lord, continue to fill us to the overflow with your Spirit. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen.